chapter 13, if you'll turn there, please. Romans chapter 13. How many have enjoyed reading through the book of Romans?
Yes.
Absolutely rich. And it's one of the, well, the most probably, this in Hebrews, I mean, there's several things you can turn to, but the most doctrinal book of the Bible. I'm going to have you turn to Romans. I'm not, Pat, you have a morning off? And have you turn to these verses. And I'm going to give you some of these verses that I'm going to refer to out of many different translations. I'd like you to see them in your own Bible. If you don't have a Bible this morning, Lynn has Bibles that she can share with you. Because we are in the book of Romans. And if you need a Bible, ask her to give you one. She has five of them because I returned one to her. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, growing up, I probably did what you did. I taught my kids, when you go out to a job, don't be watching the clock. Anybody ever teach your kids that? Don't be watching the clock. If you're watching the clock and they see you watching the clock, they're going to think you're a slacker. So you work all the way through right up until your last moment. You work hard. You give them more than what they've hired you to do. That's not a lot of mentality, but you try to teach them. And I always taught my kids, there might be other people smarter than you, but if you have a strong, hard work ethic, you'll work rings around them. And you'll be more valuable in the long run. So don't be a clock watcher. Anybody ever watch the clock? When is Pastor Kevin going to get done? But sometimes we get like that, but you know, and the other illustration you can use, remember how many of you were ever in sports, if you were in track, Mark, you were in track, you cross country, right? High jump, okay. How many played football here in the room? All right. How many track? You ran sprints and things like that, okay. Well, the issue was you run all the way through the tape. You run, you keep running, you go full bore, and you keep going. If you're running toward the end zone, you don't slack and slow down 5 yards before you reach the goal. Because what have you seen on television happens if you do? Someone catches up to you, lo and behold. You get tackled and don't make the goal. So you run all the way through. Last night, I don't know if anybody else watched the disaster of these Cougar Cal game on television. 59-60. The Cougars lost by 1 point. Whatever happened to 16-12? You know? 59-60. No defense on either team. But the most incredible quarterbacks in the Pac-12. And in fact, Connor Holiday, the Cougar quarterback, has now successfully created more passes and more yardage with his passes than any other college quarterback in that particular division in history. And he connected on over 700 yards and his opponent quarterback over 500 yards. It was incredible. I mean, they'd just get one touchdown and then twice, they kicked off, and Cal returned it all the way to the end zone. A 100-yard return. The next time, a 98-yard return.
Wow.
And that put me in a peaceful mood to prepare the message for you. As a Cougar. And how I longed. It really is Italian. How I longed for the clock to run out when we were up a score. I didn't get there. I remember, did you ever do things when you were a kid that your mom and dad said you shouldn't do? A few of you, you're not catching my eye right now. I'm looking to them. Yeah, I did. Did you sometimes just wait for him to look away? You naughty people. Did you do things you weren't supposed to be doing? I remember doing things in grade school just ages ago, you know, because in junior high and high school, I was a little peaceful guy. No, forget it. I remember doing things that I wasn't supposed to do in grade school. And my brother and I, Brad, who's preached here, he's a dedicated Christian, and at the time we weren't. And so we would do things thinking we'd gotten along and gotten away with it. And the next time I turned around, my wiry little stepdad, who was a former FBI agent, would come and confront us with what we had done. And I would look at my brother, well, who's spilling the beans here? Turns out, years later, we discovered that my wonderful, loving brother Brad, who's preached here, that I'm reminding you about so you can talk to him about it when he's here, was a sleep talker. And my investigative stepdad would just casually sit down with him by the side of his bed and engage him in conversation. And my brother would tell everything. He woke up not refreshed the next morning. And I woke up in trouble. But I knew I needed Jesus. Maybe some of you feel the same way. And there are things that we engage in sometimes that we hope no one sees. Now, listen, I'm looking at a group of wonderful, precious people. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I just know in our hearts of hearts, sometimes we have an attitude or a thought, maybe something you've never said to anybody. Maybe you'd never want to tell anybody that. And the Holy Spirit sees. And He's the one sitting by your bedside at night going, yeah? And then what? But He knows. And He is saying to us at this particular time in our lives, you need to keep an eye on the clock. Because it's later than you think. And it's not time to allow your life, my life, to be compromised by some of the things that we're tempted to compromise. I'm not saying you're weird, drugging, drinking, chasing. That's not what I'm talking about. If that's the case, you need to come to repentance, no matter what it is. But the Bible says there's no degree to sin. What do we sometimes allow in our lives that the Holy Spirit says, time to change there? Watch the clock. It's later than you think. Don't continue on in things you shouldn't be continuing on. Key scripture, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Romans 13, verses 11 through 14. And I'm going to use several translations on many of these verses this morning, beginning in verse 11. And I will be reading from the New King James. I'm applying this to my life, guys, and I think we can all apply it to our lives. So I'm not after anybody as we preach this morning. What the Holy Spirit is after is each of us being more like Him. Anybody in this room want to be more like Jesus? All right. Verse 11. And do this knowing the what? Time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You've used the phrase, probably with your kids. Heads up! Look alive! The clock is ticking. Romans 11, or 13 rather, verse 11, out of the New American Standard Version. Here's what it reads like. Look at whatever one you have this morning, and I'll read a different version. Sometimes it's helpful. It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Out of the Message, Romans 13, verse 11. Make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. Wow. Isn't that real? That's where the rubber hits the road. I mean, is life, anybody for this in this room, is life busy for you?
Yeah.
Come on. Is life full for you?
Yeah.
You know what I've discovered about people who retire? Their lives are busier than when they hadn't been and retired. And a lot of times, if people have illness issues or problems, they're facing medical problem after medical issue and medical appointment. And we believe in healing. Thank God we do. But there are realities we face and family here and this event and that event. And life. Make sure that you don't get exhausted in your day-by-day obligations, that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. Out of the NIV, here it comes, New International Version. Do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This verse was written over 2,000 years ago. We're nearer now than it was in Paul's day. And Paul was saying, wake up, church. It's near. God's coming. God's second coming. Jesus is coming back, don't you know? Somebody say that with me. Jesus is coming back. Out of the New Living. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Wake up. Don't get lost. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Don't let things go the wayside. I was with George Bigelow. Raise your hand. Raise your hand, buddy. There's my buddy, George Bigelow. Everybody applaud for George Bigelow. George Bigelow and I were out for an event, and we had fun. We went to the auction up there, and you know, we were talking about a situation, and he was talking about coming to church and his attitude growing up and things he heard, and so he's usually here. If he and Linda could be here, they're here, we were chatting, he wanted to say to somebody, don't you have 2 hours for God? What's wrong? Can't go to church? Don't you have 2 hours for God? And I said, I think I'm going to put you on staff as a pastor. You can do the follow-up visitation. Don't you have time for God? But you know what Paul is saying is that thing. Don't be slack. Don't be light. Don't be casual about this. The time is more important than ever. More important than ever. So we all have issues and things God's working with, but God wants us with Him. I got to ask you, if you only had this afternoon left to live, what would you do? Would you continue in just that little division in relationship that you know has to be made right? Would you continue in, whether it's gossip, backbiting, or the things that we sometimes engage in, it's a little easier to admit than big things, you know. Would you continue? Or would you instead stop and say, you know, let's make sure this is right. I forgive you, will you forgive me, and let's go on together. If we knew when our time was up, what would we change? Then we should do that now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, right.
We should be ready. God's timetable changes us. Say that with me. God's timetable changes us. Now look at verse 12. Romans 13, the first part of verse 12. The night is far spent, the New King James says. The day is at hand. New American Standard, 13, verse 12, first part, New American Standard. The night is almost gone, the day is near. The Message. The night is about over, dawn is about to break. The NIV. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. New Living. The night is almost gone, the day of salvation will soon be here. How many know the day of salvation arriving, coming, whatever He's going to do, doesn't change God? His purposes are set. His plan is in motion. It changes us and what we do, what we think, the decisions we make, how we live. When you and I were in school, there was a time of preparation for the test. Then there was the time of the test taking. You had to be ready. Now I want you to turn to each other and say boldly, are you ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Say it again. Are you ready? All right. Now, let me give you a couple of other verses. Keep your finger right there in Romans. You can turn to this other verse if you want, but I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. Mark chapter 13. Keep your finger in Romans 13. Now I'll go to Mark chapter 13, verses 35 and 36. Mark 13, 35 through 36. And I'm going to read it out of the New American Standard. Therefore, be on the alert, Jesus said, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. Verse 36, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. New Living, same verses, Mark 13, 35 through 36. You too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the household will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning. Out of the Message. So, stay at your post. Say it with me. Stay at your post. Watching. You have no idea when the homeowner is returning, whether evening, midnight, cockcrow, or morning. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. How many know if you went to sleep on the job, you probably lost your job? Some of us worked on lines of manufacturing where if you went asleep on the job, you could have killed yourself or someone else. It was imperative that you be alert and watchful. I worked with a guy, I was in counseling with a man one time who had given his life to Jesus after a radical transformation, but he was basically stoned on a job, on drugs, and he was on a mechanical line where they punched certain things out of metal, and he got his hand in there, and when I met him, he had lost his hand. So it's crucial. Be alert. Be awake. What you do makes an impact in life. Now, in this section of Scripture in Mark, this is dealing with slaves who had many different roles. And the predominant slave, the doorkeeper's role, was crucial because he held the keys for the owner. He had the master's keys. And that doorkeeper had the responsibility of determining who could be kept out as an unwanted visitor, and other slaves could go in and go out of the premises. It was a very prestigious position. The keys of the kingdom is a phrase to which we refer, referring to this position that goes throughout the Old Testament. The times of night, by the way, that Jesus is referring to in this section represent the Roman divisions of the night into four watches. They were literally the times where there were the changing of the guards. Jesus' only guarantee to us is that he is going to come at night while a servant is posted on guard duty. Because the roads were infested with robbers, most people never went out at night in those days. And because there were robbers, most slaves never anticipated a master to travel at night when it was totally unnecessary. So a slave could be caught off guard if the master returned at night. Church, how many know there's not a single shift in our day where we can afford to slumber or go off duty? We need to be aware and awake and alert. Someone say amen.
Amen.
So, what happens? You've heard the old phrase. What gets inspected gets done, right? What gets inspected gets done. As an administrator, as an overseer of work to be done, if you never check in on the work, it can get slack. And the vision fails. Without a vision, the people what? the Bible says, they perish. And the scripture really goes into, without a progressive vision, a continual, ongoing vision, people dwell casually. Pastor Carl used to have a phrase, one of my best friends, for so long, you all knew him. He said, casual Christians may become Christian casualties. Say that with me. Casual Christians may become Christian casualties. Wasn't a perfect man. He would be the first one to tell you that he wasn't. I learned so much from him in terms of helping keep my walk right with Jesus. Look at each other. Are you grateful for the help your friends offer to you in helping keeping you right with the Lord? Yeah, sure we are. And none of us in this room are perfect yet. Thank God, though, I'm looking at a room full of people who aren't casual. Someone say amen. You might have a casual personality, but you're not casual in Jesus, right? Not casual in the Lord. Check the work. Check the workman. Listen to what the scripture says. It's not time yet to lay down and rest. When we go to heaven someday, how many know we're going to enjoy singing to God forever? How many know what's heaven? What heaven's going to be like? I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. Billy Graham, I remember a long, long time ago, Billy Graham said, I'm taking my golf clubs. Didn't know you could do that. Don't know if you can. Hope so. Some people hope so. That's not the definition of heaven to me. But nevertheless. All right. Anyway, so, but listen to what God's after. See, the Bible says in the New Testament, occupy till I come. That word occupy literally in the Greek means do business until I come. Be about the business of doing God's business till Jesus comes back. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, if you're taking notes. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Jesus says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful. But what who is few? Workers. Laborers. The New American Standard says workers are few. Verse 38. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. The New Living Testament says, pray that God will send out more workers into his harvest. And the Greek meaning of the word workers or laborers is toilers. Teachers, people who have their shoulder to the wheel. Anybody in this room a teacher for your career? A teacher, okay, and you taught others if you taught little kids. How many know teachers of little kids are not slacking off in that room? They got 20 little kids running around or 30 little kids. They can't slack off during that time. They're working, they're turning. Somebody's coming under this leg, somebody's running over here. And Johnny, get out of the window, you know, and you got all sorts of things. You got to be on duty. He says, you need to be actively, energetically involved. He's looking for people, according to the Word, that aren't afraid to get out there and go to work. People who want to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Not casual. Casual Christians may become Christian casualties. God's timetable changes us. Next point. So therefore, let's have it this way. No casual Christians, no Christian casualties. Yeah. Say with me. No casual Christians, no Christian casualties. Romans chapter 13. Let's go back there. Romans 13, second part of verse 12. Romans 13, second part of verse 12. Therefore, because it's time, meaning, therefore, 12, second half of verse 12, chapter 13. Therefore, because it's time, because it's serious, because Jesus wants us awake and alert, watching and working. Therefore, because of that. By the way, in your Bible reading, when you see a therefore, check out what it's there for. Because of this, number one, let us cast off works of what? Works of darkness. Let us cast off works of darkness. In the Greek it says, put it away, be energetic, put passion into it, cast off, get rid of any works of darkness. Literally in the Greek, works that are shady, shadiness, obscurity. things that you do that you're hiding. Ouch. Just pausing for effect. Lest you think I forgot my place. In my notes it says, pause. No, I didn't. Guys, isn't it real? It's real.
That's right.
I'm not trying to be religious and stuffy here. This impacts me. This impacts you. And I know none of us are bank robbers out here. But Jesus keeps growing us up. He takes us and he says, okay, here you are, October 5th, 2014, and you're not supposed to be the same as you were October 5th, 2013, or 2012, or 2000, or 1978, or when I gave my life to Jesus in 1902. He says, come on, Kev. I know sometimes it's painful. It's not intended to be, but his whole goal, to be conformed to the image of his son. Be transformed, he says, by the renewing of your mind. So he says, I love you, honey, and I'm going to keep growing you. Listen, your relationships with your friends, with your spouse, how many know your life is different together than it was 20 years ago? Hopefully it's better, right? Someone say amen real loud.
Amen.
Especially if you're going home with that person today. Amen, it's better. It's better. That's what I was going to say. It's better. I'm glad you brought that up. But, you know, we keep growing. I want to ask you again. Does anybody in this room want to keep growing?
Yes.
That's what the heart is all about. This isn't mean. It's not hostile. It's just, look at what the apostle was saying. Now, please remember your context. We talked about it a week ago or so. Paul wrote Romans sitting by the window of what city? Corinth. He's looking out at Corinth and seeing every sort of wickedness and debauchery and whoremongering and fortune-telling and every sort of seaport village activity that's taken place. And he's talking about Romans and he's saying, you guys, we can't be the same people we used to be. We keep growing. Because now we've given our lives to Jesus. He keeps saying, hey, thank you for doing that. I love you. You're saved. You're redeemed. Oh, okay, here's something. And then a little later, okay, here's something else. Oh, come on, Lord, I thought you were done with me. He says, no, I love you too much to ever be done with you. Hey, come on. You know, how many raised kids in this room? You raised children. Were they done at age two?
No.
Age three?
No.
How about age 45?
No.
How many know you're praying more than ever?
Yeah.
And guess what? They're probably doing that for you too. Oh, Lord, help mom and dad. Come on. So, listen, it's not casual, this stuff. So, we cast off the works of darkness. By the way, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, I don't know if that thing is sin, but I don't feel comfortable. You ever feel that? I just don't feel comfortable. I don't feel at peace. Then stay away from the thing you don't feel peaceful about. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Pastor Sherry's favorite verse, as for me, I get as close to him as I possibly can. Not, I get as far away from him as I can and hope I'm still okay. You know, we've used the analogy many times. Anybody, I'm just talking with you now. Anybody ever driven the Going to the Sun Highway in Montana, Glacier Park? Ever driven that thing? Never? That's a white knuckle journey. My kids are little. Gail's alive. I've got this Chevy 20 van. About 40 feet wide, 60 feet long. Let's take the Going to the Sun Highway. What do we know? In this huge monster van. What do we know? We're going up this road built and improved in 1935. These 1,000-foot tour buses are barreling down the road. I'm exaggerating. They're barreling down the road. I mean, they really sail down the road. Zoom, 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 zoom. And I'm white-knuckling, and my little kids are in the back. And you look over here when you're going up. Oh, it's the most gorgeous vista view. It's just gorgeous. It's just gorgeous. And I'm sitting there, and I, if you're like me, I'm looking everywhere for a way to escape. If I go off the road, where, how, you know, anybody ever defensive drive, like, where's my way to escape? I only saw two places on that whole highway. And my little kids are in the back said, Dad, look outside, it's gorgeous. I'm going, you look outside, I'm driving. Oh, man. And I realized, when the tour buses weren't coming down, I leaned toward the hillside. Because when you're walking with the Lord, as for me, I want to get as close to Him as I possibly can. If I'm walking the edge, trying to get away with whatever I can and be okay, it doesn't take much of a bump to send me over the edge. But what I want to do is hug the mountain. There was only really one place I saw where you could go off the road. Next day in the news, somebody went right off the road right there. I knew right where it was, the only place you could go off and live. I want to get as close to Him as I can. Not casual. I want to stay close. All right, so let's cast off the works of darkness, he says. So this is your intent. Therefore, we go through all this. So therefore, let's cast off works of darkness. Number two, let's put on the armor of light, the Bible says. Let's put on the armor of light. So we put off. The Bible is full of this principle in the New Testament. Put off sin, put on the new. Say it with me. Put off, put on the new. Do it again. Put off sin, put on the new. Jesus replaces the old. It's not just get rid of the old and then walk my own way, never go to church, don't pray, don't read the word. No, that's not what it's all about. You put off sin and you put on the new. Garments of righteousness, thinking like He does, being in the word, coming to church, growing, being in fellowship with Him and with each other. All of those things to help us put on the new garments of righteousness. The armor of light, it says here. The works of light. Works that are in the light. Works that are in the presence of Jesus. Those things put an armor on you of safety and protection. You're safe. You're protected. You're strong in Jesus. Marshawn Lynch, the Seahawk football player, was just subject to accusation from somebody about him creating a major problem in a bar. You know what his defense was? The truth, he wasn't even anywhere close to there. And now the person who brought a false report will probably be subject to arrest and prosecution. Okay, so what's the point? Like spiritual things. Who's going to bring false accusation to you? Who's going to bring false accusation about you? You're rotten. You're a sinner through and through. You're no good. And what do you need to do? Oh, you did this. Wait a minute. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I wasn't anywhere close to that. I walked in the light with the Lord. Okay? Make sense? So we're going to put on the armor of light. Number three, therefore. Remember, he's answering, therefore, because this is what happens, let's do several things. Put off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, it says in the New King James. Our walk, how we live, how we deport ourselves, let it be decently, honestly, be clean, works that shine His presence, nothing hidden, nothing duplicitous, a light-filled life and actions. How do we specifically walk properly? The next three sub-points answer that. How do we walk properly? Number one, not in revelry and drunkenness. The word revelry in the Greek is riotous living. We see it all around us today, don't we? Our whole society is given to riotous living. Drunkenness, intoxication, whether it's drug taking or alcohol, whatever it might be, intoxicated by sin. Some people are intoxicated by shopping. Some people are intoxicated by gaming or entertainment. It doesn't make a difference. Don't allow your soul to be intoxicated by the world. Not in lewdness and lust. Lewdness deals right where it is in our society. It means to be in sexual immorality. Someone say amen. Sexual immorality is sin. Come on, sexual immorality is sin. There's old-fashioned preaching that still needs to take place in the Church of Jesus Christ where God stands for truth, and that is error. Get rid of it. If you're in sexual sin, can you be forgiven? Of course you can. But don't kid yourself. The world today says, oh, it's just fine. No big deal. It'll corrupt your soul. It's not just fine. Sexual immorality, lust, it says in lewdness or lust, filthiness, loose living, keep yourself pure. Pornography destroys and decimating. The devil is using pornography and computer porn to destroy lives and families and people throughout the body of Christ and our society in general. Get out of it. If you're in it, get out of it. If you need to unplug the computer and give it away, then do it. Just trying to help you. Understanding that sex is precious in biblical marriage between a man and a woman. Someone say amen.
Amen.
That's what the scripture says. We love everybody. We love everybody. But we don't love, like God doesn't love, everything we do. There's sin and there's error. And the church needs to stand for truth lovingly. Anybody can be forgiven of anything. Amen?
Amen?
You and I are testimonies of it. We can be forgiven for anything. But remember, you've got to define it how He defines it. What does the Bible say? I don't want to take a long time on this. You can take a $5 bill out of your pocket and you can walk around town all day long saying it's a 50. You can insist that it's a 50. You can take your merchandise up to the counter, 50 bucks worth of stuff. You can take it up all day long and look at it. You can yell. You can threaten. You can say, in my upbringing, this little dollar thing here, really, they always taught me there was another zero, though it's not there. They told me it was invisible, but it's a 50. Doesn't matter how much you say it. All day long, there's a standard that someone has accepted, and it's really a 5. Okay. So what do? We share God's standard with love, with life and care, and we say, here's the way. Walk ye in it. We'll help you get there. We'll stand right by your side and walk you through it. Temptation can be real and problems can be real. We'll get there. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. And we all want to have God's 5 be a 5 and God's 50 be a 50 according to His term. Amen? Okay. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Strife means quarreling, wrangling, contention, strife. Envy means malice, heat, jealousy, and indignation. Can I just make a simple statement? We shouldn't be living like the world lives. We shouldn't be yelling our heads off at each other for everybody else to see, or even doing that in the first place. I went to a place to pick up some food the other night, and without telling you who it was, no one in this room, in a different language, I could readily tell, and I assumed it was a husband and wife, were yelling their heads off at each other. And it didn't matter how many of us were out at the counter waiting for our food. I wanted to interject, thought better since they had the knives behind that counter. So it became and said, just give me my food. And I thought, sadly, that's how we live sometimes. Church, it shouldn't be that way. We should be the very demonstration of what it means to be a loving Christian family in the Lord. So, he says, don't make provision to be that way. Make provision to show it in a real way. So what's the answer? He goes on to say it in verse 14. What's the answer? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, what's the answer? Number one, put on Jesus. What's he saying here? Invest in some new clothes. Put on Jesus. Put off the old, put on the new. Read his word, study, love him. Speak in tongues, rejoice, worship. Hang out with each other, be in the word. Put on Jesus. Number two, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Make no provision. You know what that literally means in the Greek? You know what that means? Don't make and give room for any forethought to sin. Don't plan it out. Don't think it through. Don't think about how. Don't make a plan. Don't make a plan to be mean to each other. Don't make a plan to do something wrong. Don't secret away to it. Shut that door. And let the Spirit of God be in control of your life. Let me finish with a couple of other points. Luke 10, 25 to 28. What's the answer? Church, what's the answer to this? We can't do this in our own strength. We need the Lord. But what's the answer? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, forgive me for anything else getting in the way of that. I don't want stupid stuff to destroy my walk with Jesus. Do you? I don't want stupid stuff to turn me aside. And I want to run after the Lord. Now, I've got to be honest enough with you to say, probably like you, I made a bunch of doofus decisions in my life. But surrendering to Jesus is not one of them. And I've needed his grace and mercy probably more than you all. That's why I'm here. And I'm just so glad for his grace. The Bible says he who's forgiven of much can love much. So let the love break through. Lord, I don't deserve forgiveness and mercy. I just love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. And at the end of the day, at the end of my life, which I don't know, it could happen this afternoon for any of us. You know that? You could be on the way home today and your life taken from you. Are you ready? So, Lord, at the end of the day, I just want to say, when I see you, if something happens and I see you, I want to be able to say, oh, hi there, instead of, oh, hi there. Oops. Now, by the grace of God, I'm sure we're all going to be able to look face to face and say, Lord, I just love you so much, and I thank you so much for having mercy on my life. I just thank you that I have a rest of my life to live by your grace. And so Paul, people misalign him all the time. They berate him as such a hard-nosed guy, hater of women. You understand the New Testament. This man elevated the place of women and family and kids far beyond anything in their day ever even thought of being. And this heart and this chapter is basically looking at his kids and saying, come on, let's keep going. Let's keep running after the Lord. Come on, let's be ready. No matter what happens when, let's be ready. Maybe you heard the story a couple of weeks ago. And you probably saw it on the internet or maybe on the news channel. There's a man who broke into a house where the owners of the home were away, and he was convinced for a considerable length of time. And he had his bag packed with possessions. It's a true story. Only he got tired. And he laid down on the bed and went sound asleep. So sound asleep, he didn't hear when the owners came home. So sound asleep, you know, the three bears, who's been sleeping in my bed? so sound asleep, snoozing, you snooze, you lose, snoozing when they called the cops. So sound asleep, he didn't hear the police come in. So sound asleep that they had to shake him to wake him and take him to his new home. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Be watchful. Be ready. Because you never know when the master's going to come home. So, like me, let's do something. Let's keep watching the clock.